Welcome to Co-op Radio 102.7 CFRO. My name is Gennargio Sullivan, and I'm very pleased to be with you on this When Spirit Whispers. And I have a caller on the line, and he's from the Wet'suwet'en territory, where they are currently holding a roadblock. Hello, Warren.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Are you calling from the roadblock?
No, the roadblock was taken down after the company took all of the drilling equipment out.
Oh.
So we kept the roadblock up until they managed to remove all of their intended actions to go in and do some directional drilling under one of our salmon spawning channels.
Oh, yeah. So just give our listeners the details on the situation in your territory from the beginning up until now.
Excuse me. Sorry. Got a bit of a cough. Well, Pacific Trails Pipeline has attempted to strike deals initially with the Indian Act representatives that occupy the areas along the pipeline, the proposed pipeline. And one of them is the Karisikani Tribal Council, and another would be the Haisa First Nation. And these groups are, I call them Indian Act governments because they are Indian Act governments. They're representatives of the Indian Act and the legislation that goes along with the Indian Act. But the reason why I bring this up is because in 1997, the Wet'suwet'en won a court case in the Supreme Court of Canada called the Delgamuukw versus the Queen, where hereditary people had their rights and their title recognized by the Crown. And the at the end of the decision, at the end of the day, what was expected was that governments and industry would begin in a process where they would actually begin consulting with hereditary people in a meaningful way. And since 1997, that hasn't happened.
And so then where did they go from 1997? What actions were taken?
Nothing. They've gone and they've, instead of dealing with the hereditary people that was in that Supreme Court case, they decided to skirt around the hereditary people and begin dealing with Indian Act governments, such as the Karisikani Tribal Council and a whole variety of different bands that live in the vicinity of the proposed pipeline route.
So did it cause a division between the hereditary chiefs and the elected chiefs and people of the reserve?
It's absolutely causing a division. There, for example, the Karisikani Tribal Council received, I believe it was about $514 million from Pacific Trails Pipeline to do a training project to allow Aboriginal people to be trained in pipeline construction. That had nothing to do with hereditary people. We were completely left out of any discussions, any talks. And, you know, for us, it's not about money and waiting for the right amount of money to show up. For us, it's really about protecting our lands and our waters so that our future generations would enjoy them. The lands and waters that I'm talking about are lent to us by our future generations, and we always keep that in mind. You know, it's really difficult. It's a really difficult situation because, you know, the same government that is attempting to skirt around hereditary rights and deal with Indian Act government is the same government that has impoverished our communities for decades since contact. Since the Indian Act was first enacted, our people have been impoverished and forced onto reserves and forced to live in substandard living conditions. And, you know, job-wise, you know, our people are really struggling. So they know that, you know, to deal with an impoverished population is probably easier than to deal with one that has recently won a Supreme Court decision.
Wow, that's an amazing story and a common story that is going on throughout BC due to land claims and negotiations. Have your people been involved in treaty negotiations up until now?
We were involved in treaty negotiations up until 2008.
Mm-hmm.
In October 2008, our people had an all-clans gathering in one of our larger communities of Morristown. And the people that showed up were representatives of the different house groups and the clans that belong to our hereditary government. And we had a really good look at what was going on with the BC treaty process and where it got us to date. And really, all that we managed to get out of it was, you know, after, you know, 12 years of negotiations was, you know, a table that was, you know, 4 feet long by 2 feet wide and a stack of documents that were on it.
That's
out of
it?
The entire time.
Wow.
Yeah, like $16 million later, that's what we ended up with.
A table.
There was nothing. There was, you know, what they were trying to start off with, the government, the provincial government and the federal government were trying to start off with the negotiations was exactly the rights that exist with our people right now. So in order for us to pursue a treaty, we'd have to begin negotiating and compromising away rights that already exist with our people.
Oh, I see. And that's what's been going on provincially, I believe.
Yeah, provincially and federally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both tables have been looking at, you know, stripping away rights that our people have right now. And that's not the way that you do meaningful negotiations.
So right now your main concern is this pipeline that is being proposed to the people.
Absolutely. With our position has been and always will be that there will be no pipelines coming through our lands. Whether it be natural gas or oil, there will be no pipelines. We have major issues with both.
And what are the issues?
Well, with the natural gas pipeline, one of the things that it would facilitate, they want to put a natural gas pipeline from Summit Lake to Kitimat, and they want to cut right through the middle of our territory. We're absolutely opposed to it because of where the natural gas is coming from. The natural gas is proposed to be extracted out of a growing fracking process or hydraulic fracturing process that's happening in the Peace River area right now. And our people know what's going on there. You know, what they're doing with hydraulic fracturing is they drill holes deep into the earth until they reach the shale deposits. They let off these huge explosions underground, and then they flood that exploded area with water and chemicals, toxic chemicals, that are there to kind of separate the natural gas from the shale. And then they begin extracting the natural gas from it without doing anything with the chemicals, the toxic chemicals and the natural gas that they're creating. So what happens is the entire aquifer becomes contaminated. It's in a way, in a very, very real way, it's exactly what's happening in northern Alberta, except it's with natural gas. You know, you hear about the tar sands in northern Alberta, and we're absolutely opposed to the expansion of any tar sands. So the Enbridge pipeline project is proposed to come through our lands. We're opposed to that as well. So we're trying to see if we can begin, you know, lobbying stronger and harder to make sure that, you know, these companies don't make their way in.
Okay, so in the last week or so, you have put up a blockade in your territory. I don't know how to pronounce it again. What is it?
The Wet'suwet'en territory?
Yeah, Wet'suwet'en territory.
It's in the Gosnell Creek watershed.
Uh-huh.
And it's up where the Maurice River takes a large bend and heads into Maurice Lake. There's a creek called the Gosnell, there's a river called the Gosnell River and a Thottle River that kind of come together right at the Maurice at the bend. But the place where they want to put the proposed pipeline runs right through the Gosnell Creek watershed. And, you know, there's no way we're going to let them do that because, you know, 3 weeks before the action happened, we were up there. I was up there with my wife. She's a spokesperson for the Unist'ot'en, Frida Hewson.
Uh-huh.
But I was up there with her 3 weeks before that, along with a good friend of mine, Mel Basil, and we took pictures of coho salmon that were spawning right where they wanted to put the cross in.
So your concern is for the salmon?
Absolutely. That's the nursery of all of the salmon species that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the place where they want to put the proposed Pacific Trails pipeline is right along that entire watershed where our salmon are born.
Yeah, and the salmon are like a very large part of our communities as far as foods and ceremonies and feasts and such too, right?
Absolutely. It's a huge part of who we are. You know, for thousands of years, we've managed to develop a complex culture amongst the Northwest Coast, the rest of the Northwest Coast peoples.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't include agriculture. You know, agriculture was a huge part of development, the development of complex cultures all over the world. But this one area on the planet has been able to develop complex cultures based on the fact that we have ample salmon in our areas and we can harvest it and put food away for the winter without having to continue doing other types of activities.
Now that you've taken down the blockade, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are your plans for the future in regards to the pipeline? And
well, we're going to keep an eye on what's going on. We've got to make sure that those guys don't try and sneak in again.
Uh-huh.
It really frustrated us because the day that we had the first day of the blockade, a good friend of mine was being buried in our community, and he's a member of the Unistoten people.
Uh-huh.
And one of the drillers that was up there said that the pipeline company contacted them half week before that and told them that they had to get this stuff together right now. They had to move out right now. And he was very, very, very adamant that he wanted the drillers out there at that moment.
Oh.
And the driller realized after talking with us that that was the same time that the individual died in the Unistoten clan.
Oh, man.
And it was really, really frustrating because, you know, that's as dirty as you can get.
Yes. They have no regard for the people of the community at all.
None. They wanted to sneak in. They're completely ignoring, you
when
know,
you're
the
at your
Supreme
most
Court decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the driller was actually really supportive, him and the rest of the logging truck drivers that were up there.
Yeah.
You know, the driller actually told us that he was really glad that we put the roadblock up and stopped those guys from going in because, to him, you know, he didn't want to see any pipelines up here. He's a resident to the north.
Yeah.
He didn't want to see any pipelines up here at all. And he was glad that we stopped them, and he said that he doesn't like dealing with these guys because they're really, really dirty.
Okay, well, you've already mentioned that some of the people from your community have been trained as drillers and so on and so forth.
No, we haven't been trained. We're not participating
Promises.
In any of that stuff.
I see, okay. So now you've taken down the blockade. Where are you going to go from here? You're just going to keep an eye on them? And what can we do as listeners and witnesses do for your community?
Well, we have a gathering on December 9th in Vancouver. No one is illegal, and the Council of Canadians is assisting us in putting this gathering together. And the gathering is in front of the Pacific Trails Pipeline head office in Vancouver. And December 9th is the date that we have set. If people want to go, you can track it down on Facebook. There's links to it on Facebook. Just do a quick search on there and look for an action that's happening on December 9th with the Pacific Trails, and you should be able to find it. But that's one of the things that we plan on doing. We plan on confronting the people in the head office and letting them know that they can't go on doing dirty business as usual, and at the same time, they can't ignore the Supreme Court of Canada decision and forcing government and industry to deal with hereditary people.
Perfect. I like the way you're operating out there and appreciate the update on the Wet'suwet'en situation in your territory. And we wish you love and all the strength possible to get through this and to rise above. Is there a contact number for you?
Let me see.
Or an email?
The email address is probably easier.
Okay.
My email address is togheesty@gmail.com.
What does that mean? How do you say it, and what does it mean?
Togheesty is my hereditary name, and I belong to the Fireweed clan. And Togheesty literally means the man who sleeps beside the water. And I'm one of the wing chiefs of our clan.
Thank you so much for joining us on Co-op Radio, When Spirit Whispers, 102.7 CFRO, broadcasting live from Vancouver, downtown Eastside.
Thank you.